Hands in, pod on three. 1, 2, 3, pod. Thank you very much for downloading or listening to or clicking on, however you're listening to this. Thank you very much for checking out this, the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast with the usual suspects. I'm Tim, he's JB.
Hello, Tim.
And that there is Phil.
Hi, Tim.
We love rugby, we don't take it or ourselves too seriously. We're currently sat on Sunday afternoon. It's a shade before 3 o'clock and it's half-time in the Sale Wasps game. Sale with a fortuitous 12-7 lead after that Christian Wade, he's just a few minutes ago, had a right blunder. So we'll watch the second half of that game, and there's a few talking points from it already. And, of course, all the other rugby games that have been on over the weekend. And let's start with picks of the week.
Well, hang on. Let's start with this, which is a very special podcast because, of course, we're watching Sale. And usually we can't do a podcast when Sale are on TV, can we, Tim?
When Sale are at home.
Exactly.
So no, we normally can't do podcasts whilst Sale are at home because I would normally be match announcing for now, Sale Sharks.
You must be match announcer at Wasps now.
Huh?
Moving over with Gaskell, Miller. Oh. I just thought that was like part of a package.
And Kiernan Mile. Yeah. Gone and joined up. No, that's not happened. I've been relieved of my duties as match announcer for Sale Sharks. I don't know why.
I do think it is excessive having you there because a ratio of one match announcer to 12 fans, it doesn't seem to make sense.
Anyway, I'm not bitter.
I'm bitter. I used to get free tickets.
Well, we'll still work on that. Okay. But I'm no longer match announcer for Sale Sharks. I don't know why. I just got an email going, thanks for all your efforts. Not needed anymore. I think I was quite good at it.
Thanks for all your efforts. Not like you were building a house.
Yeah. Well, anyway. So there we go. So yeah, I'm watching the Sale game from the studio with the other boys.
Indeed.
Which is nice.
It is. It's good.
So, yeah, pick of the week then, from the week just gone. Phil, come to you first.
I'm going for the big Rugby Championship game, South Africa-New Zealand game.
Yes.
And the first time that New Zealand have lost since December 2012.
Wow.
I've got a funny feeling today that I'm going to need to have my fact button close at hand, so let me just...
Fact.
Statman Phil there.
First time since they got beat by England at HQ in December 2012.
Is that right?
Yeah. That's an impressive run, that.
Not bad, considering in that time they've played South Africa 5 times, Australia about 8 times.
Yeah, South Africa really left it a bit late to beat them, though.
They did. It was a fantastic game. 6 tries scored. Some fantastic tries as well. Pollard got to Hugard's try, which was like a 90-metre length of the pitch thing with half the team involved. Fekitoa, Smith, like really, really good tries.
Do you think Pollard is the real deal?
Yeah, I think he is, actually.
We talked about him during the under-20 World Championships, didn't we? This kid looks like... He doesn't look like an under-20 player. He looks like a man ready for Test rugby.
Cause he's quite a big boy. He's solid, hard hitter, good with ball in hand, good runner as well. And he's really come on in this tournament. Like, obviously, getting thrown in to this straight after the under-20 World Cup.
Exactly.
It's a huge step up in level.
It's also a massive ask for the All Blacks to fill up on steak in Argentina, get back on a plane, stop off at South Africa for a quick game and get back home. Because that's what they've done, right?
Basically.
Yeah, 1 year to go till the Rugby World Cup, and it's a big boost for South Africa. But in a funny way, it's good. I just, that invincibility of New Zealand, I think it was important to break it, albeit, you know, there was a draw earlier in the championship, but it was good for there to be an outright defeat.
It's still there.
Well, no. We'll see when they come north in a month's time. That'll be a big, big test.
Well, they'll be going to America first, Tim. Don't forget that.
Oh, of course. They'll be playing in Chicago, where you two will be.
Indeed.
And we've got some over the coming weeks, we've got some exciting news to break. We think about our Chicago trip. So keep your ears peeled about that. We'll come back to the Rugby Championship, I think. My pick of the week, I'm going to make Sam Burgess. I don't know if anyone saw the NRL grand final. Sam Burgess was immense. And his final game in rugby league, he became the first ever non-Australian player to win it's something Churchill medal for man of the match in a grand final.
Wow.
First ever non-Australian. And the guy is a special talent. He's now got a depressed cheekbone fracture.
What, as in it's upset or what?
Yeah. It would be depressed if it wasn't on Sam Burgess's face. I think it should feel pretty happy that he's part of Sam Burgess, because the guy's an absolute machine. But that will delay his start in rugby union.
I don't think it will. I think it's going to be around that time to heal before he'll be ready to take the field for Bath. Mm. And besides, he's got to get in the Bath team.
Well, no, I was thinking the LV Cup. What a perfect time to chuck in Sam Burgess.
Oh, ooh. LV would love that.
Against some 18, 19-year-old kids. Some academy boys.
I've got a funny feeling that this will lead nicely onto Jay's pick of the week.
Bath Saracens was awesome. Friday night in the best sports ground in the world.
Are you contractually obliged to mention that every single time you
ground.
Talk about
Such
Bath?
Such a good ground. Now, Bath are thinking of expanding this ground. Don't do it. Just charge the fans double. They can afford it. keep that special atmosphere. It's incredible.
Well, that will ensure that there's nothing more comes from a chant, that you don't get any riffraff doing any other chant other than Bath, 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 Bath.
You save all the money from not building a stadium and you get double the income. Where's the downside? Someone tell me the downside. Exactly. They will pay.
Also, JB, just before we get into the actual game, Bath Saracens, just tell me what it was like when you settled down in your sofa about 7:30 and there was that feeling before the game started when you were seeing in the warm-up Chat Berger and Big Gavin Henson on the same field at the same time.
It was difficult, mate. It was difficult. I mean, at one point, I was kind of backing Bath, but then I saw Chat Berger on the floor and I shouted, "Get off him! Get off him!" And some dirty Bath players were standing all over Precious Jack. But in the end, Henson was victorious, and I felt good about it. I felt good.
Yeah. It was a special, special night.
I mean, I don't have kids, but I guess it was like me asking you, which is your favourite child?
I mean, you must have been just imagining both you, Gavin, and Jacques horse riding up a mountain to go fishing.
No, we had the best arrangement possible. Those two playing against each other on a pitch and me watching. That is how I
just
wanted
to
be.
Just to make it more exciting, did you watch the second half inside a closet? Just looking through a cupboard at the telly. Oh.
But it was one hell of a game.
It's good, wasn't it?
Everything about Bath is exciting. Yeah. Their scrimmaging is exciting. The players who are injured, who are about to come back, are exciting. The backs are exciting. Everything is awesome. Yeah. And Rocket Dunguni can run through walls. God, he's not just fast.
He looked incredible, didn't he?
Did you see?
Everyone's calling for him to be included in the England squad, possibly even in the starting squad.
From Ford to Rocket Dunguni, and then the two centres, which of those don't play for England? Would you not just want to take him en masse?
In the squad, in the team, two different things. Because you look on the other team and Strettle's been in electrifying form. He must feel hard done by that he's getting overlooked.
Yeah.
But it's so hard Stretz to call.
Is good.
Now, Phil, you say what you were saying about the wingers. England's wingers.
Well, I think wing is probably England's weakest position.
That's a big thing to say.
I don't think it is.
I think it is. I think we've got a lot of potential there and a lot of talent, but Have any of those players actually done it on the biggest stage? Like if you said, Yard, Wade, May, those three who could potentially be starting, Noel, none of them have done it internationally.
Well, I don't think many of them have got much of a chance yet.
They've not, but they've just never proved themselves. And you could have four in 5 years' time. We could say we've got four outstanding wingers, but I think at the moment we don't have that. Don't forget, they're all similar age to George North, who at this age has got 50 caps.
He's done pretty
30
well.
International tries.
Julian Surveyor's not much older.
Yeah, he's what, 23, 24?
Well, here's the thing, right? George North and Julian Surveyor stand out because they are massive, right? So they've got fast-tracked and they're in the rest of it. But you wouldn't say necessarily that George North is a better winger than, say, a Shane Williams in his pomp. I mean, he probably is. But in the same way you don't want George North running at Shane Williams, I wouldn't want Christian Wade running at George North. I think they're just different propositions.
I think potential, but not fulfilled yet.
Translating that potential into reality on the international stage is a big ask, which is why it's so impressive what Andre Pollard has done for South Africa during the Rugby Championship. And let's get back to that. And sticking on Surveyor for a second, did you like Steve Hansen saying that Surveyor is the closest to Lomu since Lomu?
Did he actually say he's better than Lomu?
I think he might have even gone as far as saying that, yeah.
Yeah, which is one hell of a statement.
I don't think he's better than Lomu, as in, you know, the end product. But relatively, Is he better?
Relative makes things very interesting because Lomu was, like, looking at it now, he was so far ahead of his time.
He's a game changer, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Imagine Lomu different... with the conditioning coaches and dietitians and fitness people that they have now.
Yes. Yeah.
I think Sevilla, if he was around when Lomu was around, would probably be a bit better. But relatively, I don't think he's as good.
Well, yeah. Let's stick at the Rugby Championship. It's wrapped up. What have we learnt? And we should also say, fair play, Argentina. Well done.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, well, really happy about that result.
And we all made the call last week, actually. We all said Argentina to win.
The two things I've learned are, don't fall asleep at halftime of the Argentina Australia game. And the second one is, don't go out the night before your plane departs to Argentina. Those are my two life
get
lessons.
Hammered on the plane to Argentina.
Yeah, don't do that either. Don't drink around international rugby. That'd be my.
What is it with
lessons.
The Aussies? They love it. I mean, there's the old David Boone, the cricketer, setting the record of the number of beers smashed between Australia and England in a flight for the Ashes.
Isn't that like a standard,
48 or something?
Isn't that like a standard challenge now for cricketers though?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But like, obviously, the Aussie rugby players are getting on board as well.
Yeah, if there was a sport that I would like to play professionally, it'd definitely be cricket. I don't even like cricket, but I'd love to play cricket professionally.
I've picked a team that says we would automatically assume that New Zealand in virtually every position would be the first choice. So let's have a look at the other guys.
Okay.
So at fullback, shoot up between John De Villiers and Matt Tuma. Tamua.
Yeah, De Villiers, is he not getting a bit old now?
He's still good. He's got 2 tries last
week. South Africa did this thing, when they bring back really old players 2 years before a World Cup or a year before a World Cup, hoping they'll still be the same player in 2 years' time. So, like, De Villiers, they seem to be still under the impression that they can build a World Cup team around him and make him captain.
Oh, and Matfield.
Matfield. Yeah.
I mean, they did the same with Smits last World Cup. The World Cup before that, they did it to Skinstad.
Yeah.
Well, I quite like about rugby is that they value experience quite a lot. You see quite a lot of old players who continue playing, and I think it's great. And it's one thing that annoys me a little bit about football is there's this obsession with just get the kids in. It's like, hold on a minute, you see Frank Lampard, 36, he goes and signs for City and he looks one of their best players.
Yeah.
It's like, experience and age, you know, other countries seem to respect that a lot more than England. I quite like that in rugby we do respect age.
I think it's all about internationally just picking your best 15 regardless of age.
Well, exactly. Well, so their age isn't an issue.
No.
De Villiers is still playing well.
But on the other hand, you get coaches like Stuart Lancaster and Hanken Meyer, who kind of almost refuse to pick kids. Like,
no, well, I think Lancaster's the other way.
Really?
Hey, let's talk about Lancaster in a minute. Phil, quickly, just rattle through your Championship 15 that's not New Zealanders.
Falau, fullback. Manuel Montero and Cornell Hendricks on the wings. I've gone for Sir Fontaine and Tamua in the centres, with Nicolas Sanchez at 10 ahead of Andre Pollard, because Andre had a bit of a shaky start. He's come good at the end. Nick White at 9. I would have had Ruben Pienaar if he'd played the full tournament. Yeah. Then back row, Vermeulen, who's been superb. Hooper, who's frequently been the best player on a losing team.
Yep.
And Scott Fardy for Australia. Did a lot of unseen work.
Good shout.
Second row, Galazza. Big Argentinian boy.
They're all big.
There's some big boys there.
That's not a defining feature, I'm afraid.
And I've gone for Matfield in the second row, who I think I've been really impressed by him. And then an all Argentinian front row.
Yes, of course it is.
Of Ayerza, Creevy, and Herrera.
Hell yeah.
Creevy's a great player, isn't he?
Scrum porn, as Tim would say.
Oh, absolutely. I feel like dusting off the Barry White music. Oh, just thinking about that Argentinian front row.
Do you know what I love most about the Argentine front row? I'm not sure if it's this time round or last time, but the Australians tried to collapse it because they're dirty. And
they just picked them up.
They literally bent from the hips and the shoulders touched the floor and they go, no, Australia.
No, you're not going down.
And just destroyed them going backwards. children.
That's doing 400 kilogram deadlifts.
Yeah.
That's when you can do
with
that.
With your neck.
Oh, yeah. So good. It's scrum porn. Right, nice one. But Surveyor player of the tournament and best player in the world at the minute.
Certainly best winger in the world, I think.
Definitely not best player.
You had some facts about Surveyor, didn't you?
Well, it was going back to the Surveyor Lomu thing. Just on the tries, Surveyor has scored 27 tries in 27 tests.
Oh, that's good.
Which
that's
is
very fact. Good.
Lomu scored 37 tries, but in 63 tests.
Fact.
But interestingly, neither of them ever scored against South Africa.
Is that right?
Is that... Seriously?
That is correct.
Fact. That's an awesome fact. That's a double fact. Wow. In the whole career to date?
Whole career, neither of them have ever scored against South Africa. Lomu scored 8 tries in 7 games against England.
Apparently the guy who's got the best try record against New Zealand is actually Christian Cullum, I think.
For New Zealand against South Africa.
For New Zealand.
Yeah. For New Zealand against South Africa.
There was a couple of years where he was just like Lomu, he was game-changing, like, this is the future.
Yeah.
Watching this guy is watching the future of rugby.
He was unplayable.
He was. I love it. I'll tell you what, we're going to come back to, because we touched on it for a second. We need to talk about that Stuart Lancaster contract and what we all think about the 6-year deal that him and his fellow coaches have been handed by the RFE. We'll get to that straight after a quick game I've prepared of Rugby Social. So I like to keep my eye on Twitter. And by the way, you can find us at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. I like to keep my eye on Twitter at what some rugby professionals and commentators and whatnot are saying. And I've got a little quiz where you have to try and guess what some of them have been talking about. The first one today comes from, and he was inducted into Banter Squad last week, General Jeb Sinclair, for his services to Banter, London Irish's back row, second row player. Oh, what's going on?
Oh, yes, go Wasps! Go!
We're watching the Sale Sharks Wasps game, by the way, if you missed that earlier. Just it's on in the back, the second half in the background.
This is a try. Oh, you idiots! Came to him a little bit late. You can't do that.
Right, concentrate. It was National Vegetarian Day early this week.
Oh, wow.
Jeb Sinclair honoured that with a tweet. Did he say, he said one of the following, which one did he say? Did he say, for dinner, I'm smashing a quinoa salad with flaxseed for extra protein. I have a beard too. How hipster am I? Or did he say, I'm smashing 4 breasts for dinner in honour of National Vegetarian Day and I'm having some chicken?
lad.
Or did he say, for dinner, I'm smashing a steak so rare the cow is going to make its last move on my fork in honour of National Vegetarian Day? Which one do you reckon?
Cow for me.
I'm going to say cow as well, I think.
Both right.
Good work.
Well done. Next one comes from James Haskell. Did he say, real men wear wellies, real men have English mustard, not French, or real men miss their team's plane?
Mustard.
I'm going to say wellies.
Phil? You're right.
Oh, what is that? What is that?
What's what?
Is that Magnus Lund? He looks ludicrous.
With his moustache and long
hair. It's so long.
It's like, what's her name? Daenerys Targaryen's hair.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that is.
I don't think doing a podcast with a game of rugby on in the background is best for our listeners.
You're too easily distracted, Jay.
I've never seen anything
Final
like that.
Final question comes from David Flatman. David Flatman was tweeting about the inspiration for his shirt that he wore on BT Sport, which was described as an 80s throwback. Did he use as his inspiration for the shirt Eddie Murphy from Beverly Hills Cop, Steve Martin from Parenthood, or Dan Aykroyd from Ghostbusters?
Steve Martin for me.
I could go with Steve Martin to just try and tie the game, but I'm going to say he's a bit more like Dan Aykroyd from Ghostbusters.
JB? No. Phil?
Oh,
it was Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy.
Phil wins, though, this game of Rugby Social.
What did I say?
It doesn't really matter. You were looking at the game, you weren't concentrating anyway. Stuart Lancaster and his coaches have been offered, or have been given and penned, 6-year deals, taking them through as England's head coaches and coaches till 2020. Good or bad?
It's weird.
Yeah, he was already contracted after the World Cup, wasn't he? So is it really necessary?
It's like giving someone a bonus before they've hit any targets.
Yeah. Yeah, I think of it like that.
Well, I take a slightly different point of view. One thing I'm hoping is that, and this is what I wonder if it's part of the RFU's thinking, they're going, we need Stuart Lancaster to act without any conservatism. If you remember the Martin Johnson era, those horrible defeats at Twickenham against Argentina and stuff like that, and he picked players like Martin Corey and
Jamie Noon,
you know, I think it could be a genius move by the RFU, because it could just unshackle before. This is before he's picked his EPS squad. This is before he goes into the autumn internationals. He might just go, right, let's go for it. Let's have a go. George Ford's in at 10. We're going to get these exciting young players. Jonathan Joseph, let's stick him in the centre. You know what I mean? It might actually mean he's less conservative.
Well, if he wasn't going to do it anyway, he shouldn't really be the coach.
I don't think it's going to change. Like, knowing Lancaster, or knowing how he's been coaching and the kind of mentality he's trying to bring to the squad, I don't think it'll change that. I just think it's great if we do really well at the World Cup, which is, I think we've got to be aiming for final or better. If we achieve that, then it's great. You want to have that succession plan in place, or not succession plan, but that future planning in place. But you can do that when we actually know what's going to happen at the World Cup. At the moment, it seems unnecessary. Now, a lot of people kind of questioned this on Twitter when it was announced the other day, and the RFU did kind of clarify it bits by saying that it, almost like there are outs. If there's performance-related targets are not achieved, then there will be outs within the contract.
Oh, that's okay. Fair enough.
But then, it goes back to the unnecessary point of view. And Jay, you made the point before when we were discussing this.
Yeah.
If Lancaster does win the World Cup, then obviously there'll be lots of people will want him, lots of other countries, other clubs. But does anyone have the resources of England? England,
there are
a few, have to be the richest organisation within rugby.
Yes, 100%.
So who's going to get him? If
I don't think Toulon are going to be that interested. And you know what? The biggest chance of him leaving England is if he does win a World Cup. Because why would he carry on?
Well, yeah, end on a high.
Yeah.
He's been instrumental in bringing through a load of young players, and it came after a regime. Unfortunately, it didn't work out for Martin Johnson. I hope he comes back and does do some coaching, Johnson, because he's a big asset. But I hope it does mean that he can keep overseeing that, because we've just got a brilliant crop of under-20s in England that are doing some great work. Wasps are 5 metres out.
They need Haskell.
They have to score now, don't they?
Oh, lost it.
Well done.
No, got it back.
Get DJ Bantos on. Bosh! Oh,
DJ Bantos.
No, I think I've probably come across as quite negative talking about Lancaster there. And I like it, like you, Tim.
I think he's negative, though.
I think he's done... I like the way he's taken England. I think it's all positive. But I just think the six-year deal is unnecessary. And the only person I can think of who's been offered a six-year deal recently as a coach...
Who's that?
...was David Moyes. And look how that turned out.
He is... I think he's a very conservative choice. He has taken over from an absolutely shambolic state of affairs. Wales.
Yes, and we've got a bit more, and there's a bit of stability, and that's what I think's good about it. We're going, right, you know what? Let's do this, and it's a long-term approach, because it doesn't change overnight.
I don't think it's as promising as everyone thinks.
All I do know is that this is some audio I have from the moment that the news of Stuart Lancaster's six-year deal broke in the south of France. That was in the Toulon changing room where Stefan Armitage was playing some tunes.
Yeah. He's in such a terrible situation. Oh, he's in a great situation.
No, he's in a brilliant situation. He's playing in one of the best teams in the world with some of the best players ever in the south of France, being paid a fortune to play the sport he loves.
But for me, that's great, but you're an old romantic, Tim, and you're all about, want to play for your national team and this, something and the other. If you were in his situation and they started, pulling at the heartstrings, you're basically saying, give up your great career in Toulon and your wonderful life and everything which you've settled for, just to come back and play in, I don't know, Newcastle, so you can get picked for England. I don't think it's a good situation at all.
If you want to win the World Cup.
Yeah, if you want to win the World Cup.
That's what you got to do.
Right, OK, listen, there's another coaching regime we need to talk about.
Ooh.
Leicester. But we'll get to that in a little bit. Let's talk about a little bit more rugby. So we sort of put Bath Saracens to bed a little bit. Oh, incidentally, on the Bath Saracens game, can I just say, what is BT Sport's obsession with Bruce Craig? No other owner of a club gets as much airtime as him.
Me and Phil were talking about this morning, and I said I wish I could be a bit more like Bruce Craig and a little bit less like JB. I think he's so cool. And we were saying, who are the two coolest owners? And they're Bruce Craig and they're
Beaujolais.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they get so much airtime, you're right.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because they're both quintessentially British and French.
Mm, yeah.
How British is Bruce Craig?
Oh, he's so British.
Yeah.
And how French is Beaujolais?
Yeah.
Like the temperament...
Exactly.
Shooting from the hip.
It's just, I think Bruce Craig as well is very influential in Premiership rugby on the business side. He's incredibly switched on. He's a really good figurehead for Bath.
Mm.
Yeah, agreed.
And also, he's like, I like the quintessentially Britishness has meant that, as we pointed out last week, a northern lad from Oldham is wearing a vintage style Bath blazer.
I am glad that you pointed that out, because I was scratching my head thinking, if he ever goes back to Oldham, they're not going to recognise him. But
next week, Mike Ford, loving the Bath blazer. We need a little hanky, pocket square.
Let me tell you this, which is, remember last year when Hartley was injured? And it kept on cutting to Hartley, and he looked like a hipster.
With his thick-rimmed glasses.
Yeah, and then he had his shirt buttoned up to the top, and then I noticed there's another one. And then I realised that Northampton have like a sartorial sponsor, and they dress him in that certain way. Bath do the same thing, because when they're in the huddle, there's three or four guys wearing mustard trousers. I was like, I didn't think that I could like Bath anymore. I do now. I do now.
Mustard trousers and blazers.
It's a great look.
It's your perfect look, Jay.
I'm not brave enough to wear mustard trousers.
Right, my brother sent me a text earlier today, and I thought I wanted to read it out, and I haven't told you this one, but I thought you'd quite like it. So Nick was not playing for London Irish. He's injured. He's got a shoulder injury. He had an operation and stuff, so he's on the mend. But he said, I got stopped by a Saints fan and an Irish fan yesterday saying they listen to your pod and how much they love it. So I love I just love the fact that people are stopping my brother. This is the first time it's happened for years, because I've always been, I'm Nick Rouse's brother. Oh, you're Nick Rouse's brother. Now it's actually, you're the brother of the guy that does the Egg Chasers podcast.
I hear you play a bit.
Yeah, exactly. So there was that part of it which I liked. And also he said, I thought I'd let you know too, they both asked me separately. So an Irish fan and a Saints fan stopped him at separate times, and they both basically said, is JB really the way he is on the podcast? Or is that put on?
Yeah, we can pull back the curtain and confirm that he is exactly like that all the time.
I spend 10% of my week probably doing egg chasers, and the other 90% fending off messages from Tim about tweets which I put onto Twitter, so I can confirm it isn't put on.
It's what? Like I've already got two kids. It's like having a third kid with you.
watching the Bath game on Friday night with Jay, especially when Gavin Henson was playing, it was a chore. Listen, every single time Gav gets the ball, go on Gav, go on Gav, he's got the ball. Oh yes, he's putting Robert De Guzman in his face.
Did you see him put Robert De Guzman in his face? did you watch the game, Tim?
He gave Rocco Duguni a 2-yard pass in the corner, 5 yards from touch, in his own 22.
Made space.
And I love Duguni it. Yeah. Goes like 60 yards.
And it was, Rocco Duguni runs 60 yards, breaks through two tackles. Oh, great, great pass from Gav.
Yeah. The only people better at putting men into space is NASA.
So the answer is, for those two fans, one Irish one and one Saints fan, and anyone else that wonders, this is not put on for show. This is JB is exactly as he sounds, and it's basically mine and Phil's job, as much as talking about rugby ourselves, to rein in JB and stop him from saying anything too defamatory that might get us in the Daily Mail.
Hey, well, we got I won't say we got Jeb Sinclair into trouble, because we didn't, but someone did pick up on our interview, didn't they?
They did, yes. No, the Berkshire, whatever, Reading local Berkshire paper quoted our interview with Jeb Sinclair talking about the incident between Irish and Leicester, the Blair Cowan punch, and Richard Cockerell being up in arms that it wasn't a yellow card. Do you know what? Incidentally, I've been heartened by how many people have been saying, and there was a brilliant article in the rugby paper today, so it's the 5th of October as I'm talking, about basically saying, yeah, do you know what? Ref got it absolutely spot on. It's not an automatic yellow card for a punch. There's the sanctions start with a penalty for a punch. Depending on severity, it then is a yellow or a red. It was a rubbish punch. Now, while we're on the subject of contentious laws and refereeing decisions and such, what I'm about to play you now is a little clip of something that happened when the microphones just happened to be open before we started recording the podcast. This was in the first half of Sale Against Wasps, and it's when Will Helu got a yellow card for coming into contact with Tom Brady, the Sale Sharks winger who was catching a high ball. So what you're going to hear is our honest, unbridled reaction as we were watching the game on the telly, as I say, with the microphones that just happened to be open. A tackle on Tom Brady, who was in the air catching a ball. This was our reaction when it happened.
Oh my goodness.
Oh!
I mean, I rate Luke as a referee.
Oh, well done, well done.
That is minimal contact. If, I mean, if that deserves a yellow card, then...
The game's finished.
Has jumped across him from his blind spot and hit him in the face.
Let the boys play.
Let the boys play. I'm not actually saying it myself.
What can he do? He's looking at the ball.
Oh, he came down on his foot.
Yeah, that's not dangerous.
He landed on his foot.
Well, where's the danger except for his arse on Will Hallett?
Oh, my
Will
word.
Hallett's head.
Yeah,
it's
gone too far.
It has. I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you, Jay.
Thank you.
He's landed on his feet.
So painful. I'm always right, and it takes so long for everyone to get on board. But when they do, when they do, it's a good feeling, I guess.
Oh.
It's rubbish, isn't it? They may as well.
Let's see what Ben Kay and Ugo are saying.
If you've got a duty of care, if that happens, it's an automatic yellow card. If he lands on it, if he accidentally lands on his head, it's a red.
Well, this is one of the game's hot topics at the moment.
Right, what you just heard there, as I said, was a little clip of us watching Sale v Wasp. The microphones happened to be up because we were just getting ready to start recording the podcast, and it caught us and our honest reactions to that event. Something has got to be done about these laws around catching in the air, because it's gone too far. Jared Payne, the Ulster red card last year, I get it, because that could have been a serious injury. However, it's got ridiculous.
Yeah, Brady, who took the ball, the first part of his body that touched the floor was his feet. So how can that be dangerous? He landed on his feet and then turn
an ankle as a duty of care. Don't play the game. Just don't play the game. That's what I'd say.
Christian Wade! Oh, wow!
Thanks, Tim.
How did he get through that?
Tim has stopped me watching the game.
I'll turn it round so you can see that.
Thanks, Tim.
Cheers, mate. Been watching this game and Tim turns around and Christian Wade does that. Wonderful.
It's like squirmed his way through a tackle.
How has he done that?
Two players have got hold of him there. That's poor. Great strength, though.
Oh, well, that's good. So what were we saying? The tackle. Just coming back a second. Luke Pearce, right, is one of the Premiership referees.
Yeah.
Very young chap.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the job very young, very promising. I don't know what level he played at, but is there there was an interesting piece about Carl Dixon looking to become a professional referee, and as Glenn Jackson has already made the grade professional player to professional referee. Do you think there's an argument that it just seemed like the referee was out of touch and was like had a law book in his mind, not the sympathetic feeling for the game?
Well, these rules aren't coming from people that like rugby. They're not coming to benefit people that like rugby. They're coming in order to try and expand the game. And they're trying to do things like get rid of the punching, get rid of the violence, so mothers will send their children down to rugby clubs. Sounds ridiculous, but that's effectively what they're doing. They're trying to make rugby appeal to people it doesn't appeal to. And what they'll end up doing is it'll be so dull and so bland, it will appeal to nobody. So it's not really the fault of the referees, because if they don't carry out their jobs to the letter of the law or whatever diktat has come down from up high, they just won't ref.
Well, and looking at it from Richard Cockerell has come out again and continue. I mean, I disagree with him wholeheartedly about the Blair Cowan yellow card, London Irish. I didn't think it was a yellow card. It was a bad punch, hardly connected. It was a penalty. But he came out and said there's now an incentive for players to dive.
That is like Richard Cockerell putting a gun to our head and saying, if you don't give me what I want, I'm going to try and ruin rugby by having diving players. Why does he keep on being so idiotic?
Because he's under pressure when his team are losing and they lost out in a tight match.
Well, he just mouths off constantly.
I do have a little bit of sympathy for him in that situation, because there was, I don't know if you saw it, there was like an RFU guideline announced this week to say that it should be considered on the kind of effects of the punch. So if a punch is thrown and everyone's fine, it's a penalty, everyone walks away. If someone's knocked to the ground or knocked out or whatever, then it should be a yellow card or red card, depending on the severity.
Well, let's just remember Chris Ashton did not go down in that punch from Manu Tuilagi.
Yeah, that was definitely a yellow card, at least. But that does actually kind of almost incentivise diving. If you're saying that the more severe the damage from a punch is, if you get punched, it's like, if it doesn't...
Yeah, it incentivises it if you're a dishonest player, or if winning means more to you than your own
integrity.
Your own pride and integrity. Yes, and if you're a player who who doesn't care about your own reputation, integrity, and your own personal pride, then yeah, it's going to expose players who don't have personal pride, don't have integrity.
But by just bringing this up, basically Cockerill has made it an option now. Well, he should never even brought up diving. Because he's like, oh, well, we'll just dive then. You know, if you're not going to give us what we want, we'll just dive. He's like a little girl.
Yeah, you can understand. He must be under so much pressure. Let's just talk about Leicester for a minute, because again, they got a big thumping by Gloucester.
I know.
Yeah, the scoreline doesn't actually look that bad. It doesn't look as bad as it was because they scored a last minute try, Leicester.
Mm.
It was pretty bad.
Was it?
It was one way traffic. Well, the whole game.
I picked Gloucester to win this. And one of my theories was that Gloucester haven't looked too good because they're a new team starting to gel. And midweek, people were saying, oh, yeah, but, you know, Leicester have got a few players coming back. But the players have got back have never played together. So they're effectively where Gloucester were 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I'm not surprised that they lost. I don't think he'll be feeling much pressure from the board or anything like that because, A, he's got a long contract. But, B, I think they do appreciate he has got a lot of injuries.
Yes.
If we were in the a Leicester boardroom meeting Monday morning after that Gloucester defeat, right? So, you know, I'll be Peter Wheeler, the chairman. Mm-hmm. I'll go, okay, and you're the directors. Right, guys, another loss. Not looking good.
That was not our fault. That's the first thing I'd
let's
say.
Let's imagine Richard Cockerill's not... what would you do if they were going, right, we might not... Let's just put it on the table for a second. Richard Cockerill, is he the right man to be the boss at Leicester? Is there anyone else that would do a better job? Is Richard Cockerill failing, or is what's going on?
Well, here's the other thing. Now, you may be aware that I like the NFL, but in the NFL, there's basically two functions of the team winning, and the first function belongs to the coach who coaches them up, Richard Cockerill's job, and the second function, which you don't see over in British sport at all, is the guy who selects the team, the general manager. So he'll select all the players for the coach to coach up. Director of football, director of rugby, that kind of thing. So whoever's bringing in these players, because in the NFL, if you've got a roster which is very, very badly injured continuously, you'd say, well, why are we paying money for players that are constantly injury prone?
Some of which you can't predict.
No, you can't. But you know,
but you don't stop playing someone if you've signed a contract, and you say you don't just suddenly go, oh well, you're injured, we're not paying you anymore.
Well, it's like Gavin Henson at Bath. So Gavin Henson's the biggest problem with his career is the fact that he was always playing a lot because he's paid a lot and therefore he was injured a lot. Now he's not getting paid so much and they've selected him in the correct way and he doesn't have to play. He's now playing well intermittently and that's how you build up the team. Does that make sense?
No. It totally does make sense. But just go back to the question, is Richard Cockerill failing? Are you basically saying
depends
no?
Depends if he brings in the players. If he's responsible for bringing in those players, yes, he is.
I would say no. You asked a question, is Richard Cockerill the best man for the job? I think he's a good director of rugby. I think all round he's good. I think at the moment he's kind of very hard done by injuries. And to have 20 plus of your first team squad currently injured and to have virtually every match this season someone drop out in the warm-up.
Yeah.
Bai dropped out from inside 10, he was supposed to play. He dropped out in the warm-up, so Williams had to move to 12, which meant Freddie Byrne comes in, which meant Sam Harrison comes on and off the bench.
Is there something culturally going on at Leicester Tigers? Because it's not just this season they had massive injury problems, it was last season as well. Is there maybe something in the training, in the rehab they're doing? I don't know.
Well, interestingly, we had a little chat with Saracen's prop. What's his name?
Petrus
Duplessis, sorry.
Para.
Yeah. And he was saying it is all about strength and conditioning and the guys in Saracen's what was he saying? That they'll pull them out of training if they think they're going too hard and they strengthen particular parts?
It's preemptive injury prediction.
Yeah.
So they'll look at the way they're running, they'll look at their heart rate and like their flexibility and strength tests.
Try time,
Brady in the
Tom
corner.
Brady's in.
That's a great finish there, but that all just comes...
Well, it's like a win for Sale Sharks.
Yeah.
So Saracens are very, very... They monitor any indicators of injury, even down to heart rate.
Yeah, they have the heart rate monitors and the GPS monitors, and they'll get all the information on even how far they're running in training and that kind of thing, and either tell them they need to be putting more effort in or less effort in if they're constantly on the edge of that like heart rate boundary.
Leicester does have a sort of vibe, and Richard Cockerill does have a kind of vibe of being a spit and sawdust kind of old school man. I mean, they pride themselves very much on the dust ups they have in training and the big physical Bosch sessions that they have. Could it be part of it?
He's been asked that question because quite a few people obviously.
Bet he loves that question, doesn't he? Bet he answers it really well.
No, he's obviously very strongly against that because, well, yeah, a lot of people have said that they're so far above any team in terms of injuries for the past two seasons. Like, there must be something. There's so many factors to consider, like the weights they do, like the training they do out on the pitch.
Oh, was that forward? Sorry to interrupt. Was that a forward pass? Wow. I think that went forward. Sorry, it's the Tom Brady try.
Yeah.
Look, he takes a 5-meter scrum. Johnny Leota's in front of him.
And then
Johnny Leota's in front of him. That's forward.
That is forward.
Oh.
That's forward. That's a penalty as well.
Oh, yeah.
Not just a knock-on, yeah. That's a penalty.
He's offside. I think you're right there.
4 minutes left and still could be won by Wasps. Well, we'll keep an eye on that game. He's given the try!
Wow.
Letting the boys play, I guess.
Was that... Johnny Leota was stood in front of the guy that he got the ball from.
Was that a TMO decision, though? Yeah. Or was that just BT replaying it?
No, that was TMO decision.
Wow. Well, there you go.
Well, that is the game.
I'm all for giving the benefit of the doubt to the attacking team, but that really looked like it went forward.
It's a bit dodgy, that.
Yeah.
I just, when I look at Richard Cockerill now, I just see one of those NSPCC adverts, like some appeal. This is Richard. Richard used to get a shiny new trophy every year. He won't get a trophy this season and maybe never again. None of the best talent want to come to him anymore. A donation of just £5 a month could help Richard build a new hospital for his wounded players. It'll also help buy a new front row. More than anything, it will give Richard the funds to buy something from the trophy shop down the road to line his mantelpiece. Looking forward. Poor Richard Cockerill.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel for the fella.
This is a real appeal. I think we need to get wristbands made. Just £5 a month. It seems like a bargain.
How funny would that be if we went to a Leicester game? Because we're going to be going to the European match.
Yeah, we are. Aren't
Ulster.
We?
Can and you Phil's an Ulster fan. If we made a Richard Cockerill wristband and started selling them,
but I do think Leicester's first 15, if they get everyone fit, is one of the best in the league.
Very
they can match anyone. Right up there with I'd say Bath, Saracens, and Northampton as the best 3-15s. But where they're at the moment is just so weak right across the board.
They look weak, don't they?
Their squad players coming in, and it's okay having two or three squad players if the rest of your team's there. But
they're all new squad players as well.
I'm quite impressed with that many first team players out that they actually field a team.
No.
At all. I'm sure there's some clubs that will actually have to dip into the academy and won't be able to put anyone out. Let's talk about another club that's got some controversy raging at the minute. I'm going to play this music. Because Wasps could be on the move.
Oh, yes.
To Coventry. Now, the club have come out and made a statement, and the last that they've said on it is, we're sorry we can't make any more statement beyond what we've already said. Pretty much.
A statement saying they're sorry they can't make a statement.
Yeah, that's what they did. But
wow.
Pretty much, it's done. The deal is done.
Wow.
That's what I understand.
Well,
pretty much. And there's an 11th hour effort by the fans of the club to try and stop this from happening. There's a petition been offered, and we've been invited. Egg Chasers, we got tweeted, and the guys from Wasps said, please sign this petition to keep Wasps where they are and not move them up the road to Coventry.
This is interesting because I'm not a Wasps fan, so I can't really relate to them. They're not from High Wycombe anyway, so it's not like that's where their fan base is. Or am I wrong?
No, they're from like Surrey, isn't it? Or just the London borders of southwest London, like the borders of Surrey. That's where their training ground is, I thought.
Weren't Wasps the precursor to Harlequins? Harlequins came from Wasps, or Wasps came from Harlequins?
Something along those lines, yeah.
Yeah. So, they're not from High Wycombe. And Coventry's not a bad move, is it? I mean, Coventry is a big rugby town in its own right.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, back in the day, they were one of the big powerhouses.
I know, I'm aware of that, but same as, like, Waterloo, one of the big powerhouses, and like Preston back in the day were both had big international players playing for them. They're not, you wouldn't consider those like Waterloo, Liverpool and Preston as big rugby.
Well, I'll put it like
that's a good point.
Would you sign the petition we've been offered. We've been invited to sign the petition. Would you sign the petition with the Wasps fans to keep it in Wasps?
I don't think I would, purely because their business model at the moment isn't working. And I just from a very pragmatic point of view, you've got to get the fans through the door. You've got to have a full stadium. You've got to be selling tickets, selling shirts and all that. If the people who are in charge are looking at it and saying, it's simply not working as it stands, then they've got to look to do something else. And while I don't think moving to Coventry is a great solution, it might be slightly better than what they're doing at the moment. I just can't believe there's nowhere in the M25 nowhere else that they can go. Somewhere, a stadium within central London or certainly within that area.
Is it the cost? Is it the cost of doing that?
I think Coventry is a good idea. The Midlands is the heartland of rugby. Leicester, Northampton, Coventry has got an interest in it, and they can renew acquaintances with what used to be Per Temp Bees now.
Birmingham Solihull,
who they were beaten by in the cup a few years ago.
Yeah, that was a historic match for Per Temp's Bees, as they were. I kind of with Phil, I'm like, where else is there? And I know London Irish, it's there's strong rumours. I don't even know if it might be fact that they're moving to Brentford with the redeveloped Brentford Stadium. It's just on the M4. Just it's not far from their training ground and where their historic heartland is. So I feel sorry for fans of Wasps who followed them for a while, if their club is up to move. But then again, I know that JB is a massive fan of NFL, as am I. And this is kind of like, it's quite alien to English sporting fans, but this is normal stuff in America, isn't it? Because this sort of thing in the NFL would happen.
Well, it's happened twice in the NFL.
It's happened loads of times.
It's happened to the Browns, happened to the Colts, happened to the Rams, happened to the Raiders. Over 50
years.
Yeah,
so when we were young, when we were little kids and when people were younger, back in the 90s and whatever, the Raiders were in Los Angeles, then they moved to Oakland.
Yep.
And the Ravens, the Ravens
were set up because the Baltimore Colts
moved to Indianapolis.
Indianapolis.
And the Ravens came in. But then there's all sorts of teams that have moved around, doesn't there? Cleveland
moved to Baltimore,
and the Rams were LA, and then St. Louis. Yeah. So there's a bunch of times that
I've got a quick trivia question for you.
Yeah,
why are the LA Lakers called the LA Lakers?
Are there no lakes in LA? Is that the
question? No, there are no lakes in LA.
Is that why?
No.
Oh, right.
It's because they're originally from Minnesota, where there are lakes. So they've kept the name Lakers.
I was going to say, because the Baltimore Colts, that was because there was big horse breeding. And
is that right?
Well, I'm assuming so.
No.
The Colts,
yeah.
The horse. It was a big, you know, it's the sort of place you would have wanted to take Gavin Henson and Jack Berger.
That's right.
Up a mountain on horseback, bareback, and pitch a tent.
Goodness me, Tim.
Yeah, so it's kind of normal in the American model. They go where the fans are and where the best facilities are. And in America, they basically say to the local councils, right, having an NFL franchise here means you get a massive boost to your local economy. We want a good stadium. We want good transport. There's only one road in and out of that Wasp Stadium. It's a blimmin' nightmare to get to and get out
of.
Massive traffic problems. Now, if they actually said to High Wycombe, you want to keep us, make it more accessible, help fund us or help promote us, make that stadium with Wycombe Wanderers a bit better for rugby.
I suppose the sad thing would be if they do move and in the 35-seater stadium they have 5 fans.
Yeah.
You know, that is no good. Look at Sale. I mean, you know BT Sport are a great organisation by the fact that on some shots it looks like there are fans in the stadium. you don't want that for Wasps because they do have a following. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not going to sign it, but I would recommend that anyone who wants to sign it go to the
if anyone who actually goes and watches them now, sign it, definitely. People who are making use of it. They've got to find a business model that works.
The grass is sometimes greener, and I appreciate it. I know what you're saying, like the business model's not working, they're losing money. That eventually, if they stay where they are, eventually they won't be able to sustain what they're doing currently, which is why they're looking at alternatives. And you sort of have to go, well, that's good in a way that they're looking. But look at Sale Sharks. They moved to this purpose-built new stadium to share with Salford Reds, thinking it was the next step on the evolution of Sale Sharks to step them up to the next level. Let's move out of this old, battered-up football stadium in Stockport. Their attendances have been dreadful.
And I like the Stockport Stadium. And I like the old... In fact, the old Salford City Reds Stadium was one of my favourites after Bath.
But Sale, the Salford Stadium in now is about 5 miles away from Sale.
Yeah.
Coventry is 100 miles from London.
Is it?
It's that kind of region.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
You wouldn't travel to watch a game.
I think it's...
It'd be a tough journey. It'd be an hour and 50 minutes maybe on a train. It's a long way to have that as your first option, isn't it?
Good luck with your attempts to try and thwart it, Wasps fans. Oh, sorry, I've certainly turned onto the reverb. Good luck trying to thwart it. But, yeah, now, I don't know. I think it might be a done deal.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
It's half time during the Exeter game. If you were going to guess who scored tries for Exeter, who do you think it would be?
Toot, toot.
Correct. Another one in the bag.
Awesome.
And so is Ben White, and so has Henry Slade. 15-14, so Slade seems to be missing his kicks.
15-14, ooh.
So, on that one, we've been in conversations with the match announcer for Exeter Chiefs, put in touch by Fatty Matty, who's a Exeter Chiefs fan. He got in touch with the, as we asked on the last podcast, he got in touch with the match announcer at Exeter, who is researching our podcast for our idea of having the diesel truck noise whenever Thomas Waldrum is running at Sandy Park. So we'll wait and see whether that one comes off. Keep an eye out for that if you're an Exeter fan or it's on telly or whatever the next time. It could well happen. This we have a track record of changing things in the world of rugby.
We changed the world, yeah, exactly.
We changed captains wearing boots in promotional pre-season shots.
Big
they all
change.
Used to wear trainers. We made a massive deal of it. You got on board with us and it changed. And the Premiership and other leagues all wore boots. We do change things. We make a difference.
Exactly. It's nice to know, isn't it? So, yeah, I think they will have installed that diesel horn because he scored 4 minutes into the game.
Oh, yes. So let's get into next week's games then and looking ahead. And let's start with the Pro 12. And what? Firstly, I mean, we should have mentioned this earlier because a big result. JB's wearing a Munster shirt currently.
Oh, I am, yeah, I got it for £10 somewhere.
Some irrelevant detail just being added
there.
Yeah,
I'm not a Munster fan, in case you're
wondering. That's a backhanded compliment, isn't it? Oh, yeah, I got a Munster shirt because you like the province. No, it's just a tenner.
Really, yeah. And you're not wearing it to support Munster after their very, very good victory last weekend at Leinster.
Wow. Yesterday. This Pro 12 is it's just the most open league.
Unpredictable.
Oh, and congratulations, Phil. Is that your first win as an Ulster fan?
No.
We've only
lost one game since I've been a fan.
It's just they lost to Zebra.
Oh, yeah.
It was a high-profile defeat.
Oh, sorry, congratulations on your first nilling.
Yes.
That's what
I meant. Thank you.
Suftum.
Yeah, good game as well. Two tries for Andrew Trimble.
I noticed that it wasn't really your pick of the week, so that's awkward, isn't it?
I'd like to give him a special mention every week, but I'm trying to do it alternate weeks just sort of not to show a ridiculous bias.
Wise. Oh, Sunday, 4 o'clock, Scarlets versus Newport Gwent Dragons.
So let's get it on.
So we can actually watch that. Oh, it's on S4. Have you ever watched S4C? It's so tin pot.
I have watched.
Round around. That's sort of like one of their. I think that's like soap opera or something. It's all filmed. Oh, never mind.
Well, let's talk about the Pro 12. And that was a great result for Munster. I mean, Leinster will point to the fact they've got two of their front line, but their two best players are both out on long term injuries, out for most of the season.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge blow.
Kean Healy and Sean O'Brien. Yeah. That is most of their ball carrying ability.
Yes.
But mind you, aren't the backup Irish props still Leinster?
Yes, but...
It's not Keane, it's not Church, not DJ Church.
It's not, is it?
And it's not Guns O'Brien.
And one of them's injured at the moment. The one that looks like our friend Pedder.
He's
currently injured.
Him.
Moore is injured. But yeah, they've still got Mike Ross and Jack McGrath who started, who are both Irish internationals. Mm. And Sean Cronin who started in the front row. So...
Oh! Sorry, can I just mention something? You said Cronin then. I remember this has brought something back to me because, of course, we mentioned, didn't we, that Tommy Bowe has got a line of shoes.
He does.
And there's a type of shoe called the Sexton, but also the Cronin.
Yes.
Now, I found a rugby player, or I didn't find, he found us, or whichever way you want, who also has an alternative business to rugby.
I think I know what
you're
going to say.
Do you know what I'll say?
I saw the tweets that you were backing and forthing.
The direct messages.
Yeah. Did you know that Monaghan, the winger.
Shane Monaghan, yeah.
Yeah, from Gloucester.
Winger.
Is a very talented artist.
He is. Some interesting portraits of Hibbard.
Now,
black and white.
I'm going to give you some tips now, Mr. Monaghan, which is if you're going to draw people like, let's think of someone.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence. Let's give me some more.
Shakira.
Yeah. Shakira. Well done, Tim. You're really on the edge of pop culture. Timely reference. Not Hibbard. Even with your talent.
Maggie Alfonsi.
Yeah, there we go.
I think I'd prefer to see Hibbard.
That's how talented he is.
Oh, for JB, Gavin Henson and Jack Berger.
Oh, yes, do that. Do that, please. What would you do? The ideal pitch would be Gavin Henson just after releasing the pass to put Rocky Dooney into space.
No.
As Jack Berger smashes him.
You know that classic picture of, like, is it God on a cloud and then reaching with the finger with the fingertip touching someone else? It's like one of them Gavin and one of them Jacques.
Yeah. But yeah, his stuff's awesome. So if you want some portraits done, go and have a look at his website.
There you go, nice one, Shane Monaghan. That's so Pro 12, let's get into the fixtures for this week ahead.
Right, so Munster Scarlets.
You're going to have to go for Munster, aren't you?
I've got no idea. Yeah, why not? Connacht Treviso.
Connacht will be. They'll win that. They'll be gutted. They threw away that lead against Cardiff. They were looking so good, and then just threw it away at the end.
24-all. It finished.
Yep. Yep.
So they'll beat Treviso.
Yeah. You'd expect Treviso have been probably the weakest team in the tournament so far.
That's Friday's matches and Saturday.
So Edinburgh, Newport.
Now Edinburgh, they got comfortably beaten by Ulster. They're not a great team.
But the Dragons are not.
Yeah.
I've unleashed the Dragons!
Yeah.
Always makes me laugh. So many matchups, you look at it, you go, ugh. So Edinburgh, Dragons, right, okay. Who wants to guess?
I'll go for Edinburgh.
Right, done.
Edinburgh, done. Zebre, Leinster. Leinster will bounce back and win.
Well,
I'm not sure about that.
So the only team that's unbeaten in the Pro 12 is Ospreys, who travelled to Zebre this weekend just gone. And they only won by a single point.
It's true.
Zebre are a good team.
At home as well.
Yeah, at home it's a tough place to go. I do think they should still, Leinster should still have enough to beat them. But it's not just, the you used to
Ben
be able to say.
Ben plays for Zebre, doesn't he?
I think both of them do, yeah.
Do they? They're the only players that I know there. Ulster, Glasgow?
Ravenhill, sorry, Kingspan Stadium.
Kingspan.
Yes. It's second and third in the league, both level on 18 points at the moment.
Good.
It's about this time of year you should think about insulation for your cavities to keep the cold weather out. Kingspan.
Which is ironic, isn't it, that they do cavity and insulation and draft proofing when Ulster's ground is the windiest in the world. I mean, could they not do something about that? I don't know.
This is a great matchup. I'm going to back Phil's men.
Yes.
I know he'll be wearing his Ulster shirt. I think they're going to do the business. We should watch this one. 5:05 kickoff, televised game.
That
Saturday
might be
evening.
Interesting, actually. I'm going to give you that.
I'll watch that.
It's the Rugby League Grand Final as well, so we'll have to have a double screen. Two screen.
That's on Saturday.
Saturday night, yeah.
And then last one is Ospreys versus Cardiff. I mean,
an all Welsh affair.
Let's just talk a little bit about Ospreys. So they're unbeaten.
They are.
They've got very few players that I know or recognise outside of their Welsh internationals, and yet they're unbeaten. And doesn't this, in a way, tell you everything you need to know about the Pro 12? That a bunch of kids in an empty stadium are winning this league. And the two powers, traditionally, Leinster and Munster, I think are at sixes and sevens.
They'll come through. No, they'll
come
through.
Back.
They will.
But this is the year that everyone is meant to be competitive. And if they were all being competitive, they expect Munster and Leinster to be running away with every game that they played.
What we've got to remember, and how do you approach it if you're, say, a team like Leinster, when you know you've got European Champions Cup the next week, do you rest up some of your big names for fear of getting injuries? Or do you go, no, we've got to send a full-strength team to Zebre? This next selection of teams will indicate where the Pro 12 is at.
Yeah, you're quite right. Because in the past, they would have just rested, well, virtually their entire squad and put out the full-strength squad for the week after in the Heineken Cup. It will be very interesting to see what they do there, especially given that in the last 2 weeks, Zebre have beaten Ulster and then only lost by a point to Ospreys.
Yep. How can you not spike Ospreys?
Ospreys at home. Yeah, they're still unbeaten and they should continue that.
Into the Premiership.
Hooray, rugby! Right.
Friday Night Lights, Leicester Harlequins.
Oh, God, where do you go with this?
I mean, if Leicester get enough players back...
I need to see the matchups. I don't know.
Yeah. You have to reserve judgment until you actually see the team sheet and then reserve it again until you see how many players on Leicester's team sheet actually make it onto the pitch.
Here's my new way of picking games now, and you two tell me if I'm wrong or right on this, which is start with the front row, work your way back to 10, and that's really all that matters. If you've got the advantage there, you'll be fine.
Well, yeah, if you've got the advantage on two-thirds of the players.
Front five, more important than anything else.
Okay.
That's basically what I'm saying.
Your set piece.
I'm going to back Quinn's away.
Ooh, because Quinn's scrummaging, certainly. And
that's
their line-out has been very weak.
You're right. Front five, they're weak.
Even with a weakened Leicester team, I think they should be able to get parity there. And then it's who in the backs is available for each team, I think.
Yeah. I think...
I'm going to go Quinn's.
If Leicester get Moneypola, Allen, Tuolagi back, they get Owen Williams playing 10 rather than Freddie Burns.
Watch Twitter at Rugby Podcast when the teams are announced.
And we'll give you our guaranteed picks.
Yes, so you can bet on it beforehand. And Saturday then, Exeter, London Irish. This one's another tight match.
Yeah.
And you'd probably have to go at home, Exeter Chiefs.
I don't know. Irish
are playing really, really well.
They are.
Update: Exeter are currently trailing Newcastle, which I'm not happy about.
I think there's going to be a point or 2 points in this one. I think it'll be that close.
If the Irish are fit, I think Exeter.
I think Exeter by a point, but it could go either way. Sarri's Gloucester, I'd say that the Borg will bounce back and win at home.
Oh yes.
Yes.
100%.
Definitely.
They are going to shut down Gloucester very, very quickly.
Northampton Sale, Saints will.
Yeah.
Overpower Sale.
Ooh.
Sunday, Wasps against Bath.
Not that straightforward, this one. You'd say
it's funny,
Bath.
Isn't it? Bath look a different team at home to away. Yeah. Wasps look a different team at home to away. That could be a bit of a leveller. I think Bath will win by 7 or less.
Well, Wasps have got a Bath-style back row.
Mm.
So it's going to be... Wasps have got a big pack and a big scrum, but who has a bigger scrum than Bath?
Yeah, not many teams.
Yeah.
I'm going Bath as well.
And our pick of the week, for all the wrong reasons, our matchup of the weekend, London Welsh against Newcastle.
Schadenfreude.
What? What?
Isn't Schadenfreude getting pleasure from other people's displeasure?
Okay, yeah.
Is that all right? Have I got that wrong?
That just proves JB is a... he's like an onion. There's so many layers to JB.
Have I got that wrong?
On the one hand, you think he's a... ranting right wing, courting controversy at every turn.
Yeah, I am right. Pleasure. Schadenfreude is pleasure derived from the misfortunes of others.
Wow.
So, yes, that is exactly how I would describe this game. Falcons to go away and pick up a win.
Yeah, I think Falcons have looked more positive than Welsh.
I can't see London Welsh doing anything.
They're at home, they'll be up for it because they know. If they just beat Newcastle twice, they could potentially stay up.
Yeah, all you need to do, boys.
I don't think they'll have enough. I think Newcastle, nowhere near as bad as London Welsh in their defeat so far.
London Welsh are shambles, aren't they? It's a shame. I'd love to see them have a Bath-type setup in Old Deer Park, 14,000, something like that. And just,
ambitious.
We will never, ever know. It's like sliding doors, and we're never, ever going to know what would happen if London Welsh had their championship-winning team on the field as they won it last May.
Yeah, agreed.
We'll never, ever know.
Never know.
But we're going for a Newcastle win at the Kassam Stadium in front of the fence.
Yep. I like that name. I think I could stick. Yeah, the fence.
Right, is there any other rugby to look forward to? Rugby Championship's done and dusted, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Next game, I think there's Bledisloe Mark 3, 2014.
What's that? Is this when they play each other in the third game?
Yeah.
I'm not watching that out of principle and we shouldn't talk about it.
It's like the warm-up for their...
Chicago match?
It's a warm-up for the Chicago match, which is in turn a warm-up for
Why do they do this to us?
Money.
Yeah, let's not talk about it and let's not watch it.
Okay.
Can we agree on that?
But that's probably 3 weeks off, yeah.
Good. Well, thank you. Anything you want to contribute to or have a think about on the podcast, then get in touch with us at Rugby Podcast on Twitter is where you can find us. Thank you very much for downloading. Tell your friends. Give us a little rating or a comment on iTunes. I thank you for the people that have done that this last week. It helps bump us up the chart and it helps little old us, just three blokes in a studio with you.
Yeah, just three blokes in a studio with a professional DJ in a nice little setup.
Yeah, hold on. We don't have the might of a 3 million odd listened to radio station like the other podcast that we're fighting toe-to-toe with to be the number one rugby podcast.
Yeah that is true.
We don't have that
to rely on.
Just us. So we'll see you on the next one. Enjoy the rugby, feast the rugby in the meantime, and we'll see you next time in a bit.
Goodbye.
Nice one, JB. Nice one, Phil.
Cheers, Tim.